Yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Ollerbach. Look at me, Jay Light.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Kicking it in Flappers Burbank.
Yep.
A lot of comics around.
Here in the patio. It's right before a show, so all the comics are out here hanging out with us.
Kind of blowing off a little steam before the show, you know?
It's a good place to be for that.
Trying to warm up. Jay Light, I've always wanted to ask you this. Your name is so just clean. Stage name, what's going on?
It's my real name. I can show you here. You'll see. I'll show you my ID even. It's my real name is actually Jerry Thomas Light III.
Wow.
It is family name for generation three.
Did your family discover Light? Were you right there when it happened, the Big Bang
yes.
and all that?
Yeah, that was us. We're very closely related to the Fire family, but not quite. No.
If you were in Hogwarts, you'd go Slytherins, right?
No, I'm a Ravenclaw.
Oh, okay.
I've been sorted before, my friend.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, no, it's a Dutch, I guess. So I'm half Irish, half Dutch. When the Dutch side and my dad's side, when they immigrated to the States, originally the last name was L-E-I-C-H-T, like Light, and then it became Light in America because nobody wants to have Cluck in their name.
The Ellis Island kind of... Oh, so for three generations of Americans since the Ellis
Island.
Yeah,
well, it's not... I mean, my parents are not immigrants, but I don't think theirs were either. I really don't know.
My last name is Hollerbach. I don't know how the fuck that got through Ellis Island without Americanization. You know what I mean?
They must have snuck past it.
Help me out with the stage name. I don't know. It just seems like inauthentic for me to have it. I'm not sure if I like stage names.
I'm not sure if I like them either. That's why I don't go with one. I do get that question a lot, though. It is my real name. Jay
you
Light.
Nailed it. Look, so last night we were actually at the Comedy Store.
Yes, we were. The roast battle. The
roast battle is going crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, supposed to be an open mic, so I put my thing in. There's a sombrero full of names. Like, six get called up top, but as people fill in, as soon as it's a full show, the doorman mafia kicks in. The doorman mafia, and what I'm saying is, all of a sudden, it's just doorman after doorman after doorman doing each other favors because it's a packed room, so we're not as motivated to pick from the thing. What am I talking about? Am I starting to put the lid off a conspiracy? What's going on here?
You're not really pulling the lid off anything, really. I mean, it's a hard... That was a difficult room. Usually that show does start earlier. I help out with the roast battle a lot.
So usually that
show does start earlier, and it's, you know, like any other show at the Comedy Store, there's a fair amount of favoring happening. But
work-ins.
I mean, that happens at other mics too, though.
Right.
Last night was a little more than usual, but it was also, like, usually they do get at least 15 people out of the bucket, out of the sombrero.
Right.
So last night was an anomaly.
Yeah.
Won't be happening too often.
Interesting. So how do you get inside the doorman mafia? Is it like, you know, you guys aren't paid regular. I thought everyone was paid regular.
Nope.
And then Frankie wins the title, the roast battle title. You know, he's been there every single time I go there. He's not a paid regular.
Nope, he's not.
So what do you got to do?
Frank and I actually both just got hired. We got hired right around the same time. He was hired maybe 2 weeks before I was.
This was how long ago?
This is about a month ago.
Oh.
So about 2 months for Frank.
Okay, so...
So it's been... I feel like I lucked into it.
So only in the last 2 months you've been getting this preferential treatment.
Yeah, and I'd been helping out with the roast battle before I started working at the store. And that kind of helped me out. I would get spots that way.
Yeah.
But it's very recent that I'm getting this treatment. Yeah.
Good for you, man. I'm not trying to, you know... I'm just saying what I observe. And, you know, I was itching on my skin last night to get on fucking stage. It was
so packed. A room like that.
It was so packed.
Yeah, I mean, you saw how I did. I got a fucking applause break off of a brand new line.
Well, also, it was cool because we actually were on a show at Flappers, you know, I had to watch your set, and it didn't go your way. And, you know, so that was a hard show to work off of. I didn't do well that show either. But then I see the evolution. I see the writing. I see the work in it. And then come roast battle time, the place is packed. I know, you're in the mafia. There's I don't know. There was some kind of initiation that involved staring at a glowing orb. I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
You'll figure it out.
You got a podcast yourself called Explain Yourself.
I do. Explain Yourself with Jay Light.
Talk about that. How'd that get started?
So I had been wanting to do a podcast for a little bit. I couldn't come up with any good ideas, though. And then one day, I don't remember how.
So you want like a gimmick behind it.
You gotta have
like, you know,
something behind it. So yeah. I came up with Show and Tell, and I was like, there's gotta be a podcast out there that does like just a simple show and tell. It's such a simple concept.
Right.
Looked it up, nothing. Found nothing. I was like, all right, this is mine then. So I took that, Started at the beginning of this year, so we just hit, this week was our 26th episode when you're recording this. So by next week, it'll be 27.
Awesome.
Lots of cool things.
Look, hey, people bring in stuff, they explain things.
Yeah, there we go. It's nice, I'm mobile, I can go to people if they need me to go to them, they can come to me.
If the object's big, it's like, hey, this is a field trip right now.
Yes.
You're not going to move that boat out of the yard.
No.
Why do you have that? Explain yourself.
Yeah.
And there it goes. So also, you know, you're helping out at Flappers too.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping the cars, but I thought that you quit. I thought you were working here. And
I did.
You weren't working.
I
here
was
anymore.
Officially an employee. I'm not an employee of Flappers anymore.
Right.
I'm contracted to help produce the contest every Wednesday, and then I also help out hosting and an open mic out at Flappers in Claremont.
Right.
So those are my contractual obligations, but I'm not a Flappers employee anymore.
Right.
So it's basically like if I was running a show. Like I'm running a
show. Your hands
show.
Are tied.
Yeah,
I mean, they got you to sign the signature.
They're giving me money, and I'm running things, but I'm not an employee.
You're still in it, you know? You're never totally burning a bridge. You're being careful.
Exactly.
So what about your, like, I mean, how long have you been doing it now? Like, a year and a half, 2 years?
Comedy?
Yeah, my
God. No, I've been doing comedy for almost 6 years.
Oh, wow.
First, I've been serious about it for about four, but the first time I ever got on stage was October of 2008. And the first 2 years, I started out in North Carolina when I was in college.
Right.
First 2 years were pretty much a wash. I had not a whole lot going on. I didn't have a car. There weren't a whole lot of places I could go do shows
right. Without
a car in North Carolina because right. Everything was so spread out.
Yeah.
My junior year of college, I got a car. I was able to drive around more places, hit up more shows, really started taking it seriously. And then I moved to L.A., got the job here at Flappers. And then things just kind of spiraled from there. And now it's been almost 2 years since I've been in L.A.
Yeah.
So, and part of this scene, almost 2 years.
What's keeping you going? Is just having a good attitude?
Yeah.
Just being motivated? It's so fucking fun.
It's just what I want to do. I have so much fun. Even now when I don't do well on stage, I still have fun. That's the part that I'm really excited about. It's just being in the community. Being here.
When I bomb, I'm miserable.
I mean, I have...
miserable.
I'm just like, I get mad, but I don't let it get to me as much as it used to. Because I try and learn from bombing now more than I did before. I feel like before I wasn't able to, but now I can be like, okay, maybe this is like something I can...
You did great at the roast battle show, man. You were at a good spot.
And I lost on that show. I lost that show. And I did...
Oh, really?
Oh, the last night? Or the night before?
Oh, the last
the week
night.
The week before I actually did. I roasted.
I didn't
and
see
I lost
that, yeah.
the roast.
Oh, dear.
And I still did well. I still put in the work.
As long as it's a split decision. As long as you win at least the one round.
Exactly.
Where they could argue.
Which I did.
And I know, you know. So
but
that's
no, last night I had a great set. I was very happy with that
Yeah,
set
good job,
night.
Man.
Thank you.
You also opened one time for Dana Carvey. It's like, you know, your dreams are, you know.
Yeah, man.
Look at that.
I'm actually opening for him again this Sunday, too. So,
Claremont?
Claremont. He asked me after the last show, he asked me to be on it with him. He asked me to open up.
Whoa.
And this is a strictly his show. It's his call. It's only him, his family, and Jan Karam, who's a good friend of his. She's the one who got him over to Claremont in the first place. And they asked me specifically to be on the show, too. So
How
I feel
many
very
other people?
Honored. It's five total, including, and then Dana also.
That's a good list, you know?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So I'm glad to be a part of that.
Last night, actually, at your set, you were talking about how you broke up with your girlfriend, but you're still sleeping in the same bed,
mm-hmm.
just in a lease contract. You're contracted out.
Basically.
You're contracted out.
We're
your hands are tied.
I can't
So
do
did
anything.
You sign a year lease and then broke up a month in? Or?
We broke up 6 months in.
To a year lease.
So a year lease. So
yeah.
I'm halfway done. It's been 2 months since we broke up, so we're still working something out.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that I want to... I like living there. It's a great apartment, but it's also weird to live with your ex-girlfriend.
Sure.
Like phenomenally weird.
Right.
So I'm trying to... Just every day, I'm just trying to be like, all right, take it day by day. Maybe I'll move out eventually. Maybe I won't. We'll see. But I know that
I do have...
Are you
trying to get her a new boyfriend that also could sublet?
No.
Are you trying to like...
I would like maybe the sublet, maybe not the new boyfriend part. But a sublet would be great.
You know, this other girl last night was at that Rose Battle show... was saying that she gave a guy a blowjob and then she was all pissed the next morning when she didn't buy him a coffee. Like, she had assumed that earned a morning coffee.
And then she'd earned the coffee, yeah.
And then she was like, oh, someone was like, and then the guy was like, no, give me $2 for the coffee. And she was like, just assume that her blowjob bought it. That drives me, jokes like that drive me insane.
Why?
Because it's free. because you know, ever eat out a girl and then assume that she owes you a croissant? You know what I mean? It's just, that's just what happens in a relationship if you're happy. The monetization of sex seems to be the most for everybody. Is going, oh, blowjob is $2 for a coffee. Just thinking like that constantly,
yeah,
and so fluidly, is
it
really poisoned a lot of relationships. It makes, I don't know, maybe.
I think you're onto something.
You know
there.
What I mean?
It's like, it's, you're expecting a reward for something that should be just a part of the relationship to begin with.
There, if you're liking each other, then what's the, then that has nothing, that's not connected to a $2 for a coffee, but it's like, it's so assumed that there's going to be money involved that
yeah.
it's like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Is that what can we talk about your girlfriend? What happened?
We
is
can it, talk about
the,
it.
Was it a sexual thing? Was it, did she want, you know, was she like pushing, you know, I don't know.
She was mostly, it was mostly about time.
You say you're always out doing stand-up?
I'm always out doing stand-up. She does not have that kind of life. She's not down with the lifestyle in the way she thought she would be.
Right.
She's supportive. She
right.
loves that I do comedy. She's always been very supportive of that. But she thought that I was going to be doing more writing than actual performing.
Right.
So she did not know that I cared about performing stand-up as much as I do. So it's unfortunate that things had to work out that way, because I still love her. She still loves me. But
right.
it's just the way we can't be together right now.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's really tough, because now, the first 2 months, we were kind of, like, we were very wishy-washy about, like, well, maybe we can still be together, and we were kind of, like, going out on dates occasionally, and doing stuff. But this past couple weeks, we've really both been like, okay, we have to be honest, this is not going to work right now, we need to accept that. So
yeah.
now we're in the, like, acceptance phase, which is very sad, but it's also, you know, it's what
right.
we have to do to move on.
But also, the reality is, you're not there all the time.
I'm not.
You only kind of check in with how awful that is when you're not there, which almost motivates you more to do more stand-up. Right?
Yeah, it keeps me busy. I'd rather stay busy and not think about it than be sitting there and thinking about it. Though it also helps, because, like, I sit down and I'll write about it now.
Yeah.
And it helps me unpack that emotionally
right.
so I can figure out how I'm dealing with it, which is good. I'll get more material out of it that way too.
Yeah.
Like when I can figure out how to talk about it, that's gonna be I think some of my best.
So material. You think it's still too close to talk about it?
It's not that it's too close. I just haven't found a way to.
Right.
I know kind of what I want to talk about, but only in like the broad strokes. I really want to make sure like this material does not deserve just the broad strokes on stage yet. And
yeah.
I want to give it a little bit more definition first.
Yeah. And here's what, also with the coffee stuff that I was talking about earlier. I was talking about, girls think that like a blowjob is worth like $2 for coffee. Invest blowjobs into the relationship.
Yes.
Okay? Because when I get in a relationship, I invest in, you know, eating ass. And there's no sexual job that's
eating
like
ass?
Too depraved. You know, I'm in there. What you want is, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You got a full menu of depraved desires. I'm gonna take
you're
care
on
of
that
menu.
You're buying everything.
You know what I'm saying? So it's gotta be both ways. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I think it does have to be both ways.
I want to talk about something else. This kind of been an unofficial segment of my podcast for a while, but I always go down a YouTube hole. You know, I like smoking weed at night. I like smoking weed in general, but I get paranoid and I start watching video, you know, different videos on YouTube and just go down holes. You know, Scientology goes like OT
it's different levels.
Yeah. It's like a pyramid scheme. Like you're OT level 2, OT level 3. This is operating Thetan. You can astral project your Thetan out of your body. You can operate it. Operating Thetan level 1, 2, 3. Okay.
And it costs like a certain amount of money to get to each of those levels too.
Yeah. So like just to go clear, to start at OT level 0, you have to spend like $150,000. And then you start OT level 1, and each level is like extremely expensive.
Yeah, I actually heard this week somebody did a video, I don't know if this is the video you're about to show me, but somebody did a video interview where they're interviewing celebrities about who Xenu is.
Right.
And a lot of celebrities laugh off because they haven't gotten that far.
Yeah.
Because they get to like the first two levels, and then they see that OT level 3 costs $300,000
right.
to get to, and then
right.
they're like, I don't want to go that far. I don't
yeah.
care as much.
But this is, I mean, for people that haven't heard it from the horse's mouth, because a lot of people have heard the South Park version of Xenu.
Yes.
This is OG from a platinum photograph in an underground bunker OT level 3.
The elected body, they call them the loyal officers. They were there to protect the populations and so forth. And they had elected a fellow by the name of Zemu, could be spelled X-E-M-U, to the supreme ruler. One of the mechanisms they used was to tell him to come in for an income tax investigation. And the United States just copies income tax. They're just R6, a bunch of dramatizing psychotics, these guys. So in they went, and the troops started slaughtering them, and then the troops, of course, were ordered out to get a hold of certain bodies of renegade troops, which were ordered to get certain bodies of bad troops, and they shot each other up and implanted each other and wiped it out. They were making billiard balls out of these places. They were imported. They were actually, the trick was to shoot somebody, disable somebody, very often a needle into a lung, and at the same time to hit him with frozen alcohol and glycol, which preparation is guaranteed to pick up a thing. All he had to do was pick him up and put him in a refrigerator, and they had him, boy. As he tried to exteriorize from the body, there he was, frozen. And they threw him into collection points, boxed them up in boxes, threw them into space planes, which are the exact DC-8s. The DC-8 airplane is the exact copy of the space plane of that day. And they dumped them, and then they set off hydrogen bombs on the top of each primary volcano there is on this particular planet. And when they blew up, it blew the Thetans into the air, and after the bomb, an electronic ribbon, which also was a type of standing wave, was erected over the area. The tremendous winds of the planet blew every Thetan there was straight in to those particular vacuum zones which had been created. These were brought down, packed up, and put in front of projection machines, which with sound and color pictures first gave them the implant, which you know as clearing course, and then a whole track implanted, which you know as OT2.
He sounds like a Cheshire Cat. Like, I just imagine him, like, petting a cat, going, they elected Lord Zenu supreme ruler. I want to be comfortable. Where's my brandy? This cat outranks you. This cat is more spiritual than
Let me swirl my beverage around in my glass as I talk about the space aliens who've made us depressed.
And it's like, this is what will be studied forever. Like, that is what he just made up there in 5 seconds is what he's like. And then they put the alien bodies in the frozen things and explode with hydrogen bombs. Study that forever. Study that until the day you die. This cat outranks you in spirituality. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, can you not hear? Also, I had a good friend actually who's on the inside.
Oh, really?
But not even clear yet.
Okay.
And we had a conversation because there's this guy called Mike Rinder who used to be the spokesman, and he defected, and now he's just doing a tell-all.
Your personal survival for the next day, or what's going to happen to you tonight or tomorrow when you get up in the morning, becomes like really significant because it's threatened all the time. And threatened with you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your eternity, you're going to lose your, you know, everything that you've ever had in life, and it's all going to be taken away from you, and it can just go like that. So it's like a fight to do those things that you think will allow you to survive another day, and hopefully it will be better. And so it's very, very vividly, crystally clear to me what Debbie Cook said in her testimony, that when those papers get put in front of you, you'll sign anything. You're like willing to just, she said, you know, they could have put papers down there that said I would murder babies. Well, I've written a lot of shit like that, you know, that are all efforts to try and satisfy some unbelievably strange, twisted, perverted standard of what's good behavior and acceptable and is going to get you through the day and into tomorrow. And there's a bunch of shit like that I've written, you know, wow, and the church, of course, trots all those things out, and, you know, they're all in your handwriting, and, you know, oh, look at this, look what he said. He was trying to destroy Miscavige and blah. I mean, these are all the things that you are required to do and say in order to keep surviving like a fucking cockroach. And you think that survival like a cockroach is really cool because you could actually be an ant.
And I just thought, oh, do you know who Mike Rinder is? She got really upset. Someone who's been on this podcast before. So that's all the information I got. Right,
oh, my. I want to find out more about Scientology one of these days. I think I might go get a Dianetics test one of these days.
You should. What's it
officially called? A reading?
Well, they could just give you a personality test.
Personality test.
They call it auditing.
Auditing.
When you're holding the tin cans and you're... Well, the problem is also that when you're doing, like, your confession... They record those sessions, and if you try to leave, they'll use all that personal information as blackmail against you. You know? And
man,
if you try to leave the church, you're called a suppressive person.
Oh,
an SP. And then anything, then they have like this like team of private investigators that they use to stalk and harass all their defectors. You know, all their defectors are followed 24/7.
Oh, that sounds
terrible.
And it's
like all of the... The people that work there make like $20 a week, but all the real money goes to stalk all these other defectors. They're like a paranoid institution, like fucking North Korea.
Yeah. Just did you hear about North Korea now? They're calling the interview movie with Seth Rogen, and it's an act of war now, officially, if it comes out. I really want it to come out now just so I can see what happens. I feel like it is going to be some like Scientology-level bullshit blowing up.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess that movie, they're going to go...
Kim Jong-un.
Well,
yeah.
What about fucking Team America War Police?
Yeah, they didn't get super pissed off about that. I guess it's a puppet Kim Jong-il, though.
He's a puppet going, saying he's so lonely and he's just surrounded by idiots. But that's probably how the real Kim Jong-un feels, so.
Probably.
I mean, they are like, it's like also the religion.
Yeah.
He's not just the...
He's the guy. He's the supreme ruler, supreme leader.
Man.
The man himself.
So do you ever feel like if you ascend to a level of a comedy empire that eventually that's the goal, to move to kind of a grassroots cult, have like supreme followers?
I think so. I do think I have a good cult leader name. I could do a lot of work with my name in the cult program somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do, like my basis things. I actually took in college, took a class on cults.
Yeah.
It's called Power and Obedience. So we learned about cults for years, and there's certain, it's really easy to make a cult in certain environments. Like, I know if I wanted a cult, I can do, if I hit the college circuit, whenever I get to there, that's the place to get a cult started.
Oh, yeah?
Because turns out most cults will recruit at colleges because they know a lot of college students are homesick, having like a crisis of faith for the first time in their lives, and they don't really know what to do. Might have, for a lot of them, it's the first time they've been independent. So when they get welcomed into a family atmosphere, like a like religious atmosphere, then they think everything's good, and then they sneak in the cult shit.
Yeah.
And that's where that comes from. So if you ever want to recruit, start a cult, folks, go to college.
So also, you know, with Scientology, they, you know, before they get to the alien shit, all it is, oh, have a sauna. You have toxins in your body. That kind of makes sense. I'll have a sauna.
Everybody wants to, you know, release the toxins.
Wait, the feds are trying to bust this place up? Why are the feds trying to bust this place up? It's a sauna. And vitamins, that's good. And they keep, you know, giving you enough rub.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. They keep giving you enough rub, you're going to find aliens.
If you had a cult, what would be your, like, luring tactic? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, man. I would probably do... I'd make a lot of food. I'd make, like... I do, like, potlucks. Like, potluck dinners. Because everybody loves food. Free food will get anybody in the door.
Yeah.
And then lace Kool-Aid. That food with sedatives. Yeah. Then they wake up, and they're your slaves.
Yeah.
Or, as you call them, family members. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way you get them inside.
And then, you know, just tell them that their parents have lied to them their whole life and show them a new way of thinking, you know? College kids are moldable. They're angry at their family for the lock and key they've been put under. Finally, they can spread their wings.
You can see how successful I am, guys. Don't you want to be as successful as me? Follow my rules. You will be a success, or else.
Yeah.
And then the end.
Problem, solution. There's a problem, you know? There's a lot of thetans in your body. I shouldn't start with that. Have a sauna.
Have a sauna. Get those toxins out.
Lord Xenu. Whoa,
have a hot dog.
Is,
have a sauna.
Worry about Xenu 10 years from now.
Have a schwitz and a sausage.
Have a very expensive sauna today, and then we'll monitor you from afar. I also, in 1989, L. Ron Hubbard's son was giving hearings.
And the fair game policy, he's had that as long as I've known him.
That's the attack the attacker. Fair game.
That's
policy.
Correct.
Sue and trick or destroy.
No, it's destroy the attacker.
No, it's sue, trick or destroy.
And there's only one good defense, and that's to attack. "Quote unquote," from L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay, and I'm trying to get through this so that we can all get a chance to question it further. But the blown student is the policy to kidnap a student that tries to leave.
Oh yeah, I invented that.
You invented that?
Sure. So I got very good at double talk and being pretty glib. Also, it was up to me to formulate and set up all of the training programs, all of the training courses. I originated the grind, which I don't know if you hear that word today or not, but that was like 8 o'clock in the morning for students to 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. You just ground them into the ground. Okay. You also must realize that at that time I was pretty fat, sassy, and brassy, and as I was referred to earlier about the exercise of power, I mean, here's a kid 18, 20, 21, 22 who are teaching people that are doctors, lawyers, rich people, even ones like the member of DuPont family, things like that. And so you could really exercise power. They did what I told them to do or else. And I ran them ragged. I was probably equal to or even rougher and tougher than a Marine DI, and that's not an exaggeration. Okay, as far as blown students was, I was a big ego tripper. Nobody blew my courses. In fact, even a few times I've handcuffed them to their chairs. And I originated that, that there's a basic thing with the road out is the road through is a very early pre-religious thing, statement of death. So the thing to do was to continue with the course, continue with the training. So they had to finish it. And I was pretty good physically, and somebody run out on me, I went and got them. And if I took me a half a dozen other guys to go get them, I got them. And they came back several times, dragged them back by their feet, you know, just sit down. Good friend of mine, I still know him. I chased him down the street. He locked himself in his apartment. I just knocked the door down with a smash and a crunch, grabbed him by the collar and drug him screaming all the way back and threw him in the auditing chair, in the training chair. So, blown student, that's where that comes from. You, that originated the 18-20-hour training schedules, the heavy SS-style training methods.
Too, there's a congressional hearing.
Okay.
Because before they were giving them religious status, tax-exempt status, that's why it drives me crazy that the feds really had the opportunity to shut them down. They had all this evidence to shut them down, and they still haven't. When you spin that, all they did, they're just like a shadow thing that with a PR arm that's like, oh, we need to say that it's like religious persecution. And I know that Americans, you know, started on freedom of religion.
Yeah.
So they'll make a religion the most ridiculous thing possible and then still want it to follow, you know, the most exploitive institution possible and then still try to hide behind. It's like you can make anything. I don't know.
It's hard to figure out, because that's the thing that bugs me about religion. I didn't know this until very recently, is that all religions get tax-exempt status.
Right.
And a religion can just be as ridiculous as you want it to be, as long as you get people following it behind it, then you can get tax. But the thing is, like, I am from Texas, where a lot of churches have, like, gift shops, coffee shops, all that kind of stuff. They still get tax-exempt status on those when they're actively making money for not the religion, just for the institution, to make the institution grow. I don't think that that's right.
And also, you know, Scientology owns hotels, they own commercial real estate, which they have tax-free, so they have, like, an advantage over... So it's just like a shadow group of investors, led by one guy, David Miscavige, who routinely beats up people.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing if, like, you run a, if, like, a church buys a house for its pastor or its priest, and the pastor or the priest gets to live in that. That's one thing. If you're buying houses for, like, your lawyers and saying, oh, well, the religion is giving you this house as a gift from whoever, from God or whatever the fuck, that's something that's shady. I'm not a fan.
So what religion are you? Were you raised with
that? I was raised Christian, yeah.
Catholic?
My mom was Catholic, but we were not raised Catholic. We were just kind of generic. We started out as Presbyterian for most of my life.
So just Jesus soup.
Just you're Jesus, yeah. Jesus was around. He's a dude. I'm cool with him. I went to a Methodist church for a time because my parents got disillusioned with our first church.
Right.
Now, I'm not really... I wouldn't say I'm a Christian. I do believe in God, but I'm more of a deist, I think, is the best thing to say now. I mean, are you familiar with deism?
I think Ben Franklin was a deist.
Yeah, Ben Franklin's deist, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. Basically, deism is the idea that there is some sort of creator. It's like...
But, like, you can't know him,
you can't know him. Basically, they pronounce it's God is the watchmaker. So, like, he made everything and set it all into motion, and then he just kind of, like, just watch it go. If something needs to be fixed, maybe there will be, like, a gear change or something. Or it'll get tightened up. But everything else is pretty much out of your control, and it will be, and it's out of your control forever. And God's not going to intervene. That's how I feel.
That's interesting. You know, speaking of... deities, you know, I've been going down a YouTube hole recently, and they were saying that there's many different races of extraterrestrials. I love looking up alien YouTube videos, you know, and because I wouldn't believe it from a religion, but I do believe it sometimes. Or I'm not sure what I believe on the subject of aliens, but when I hear a person by the name of Philip Schneider, he's this guy that he's got a bunch of his fingers are blown off on his left hand.
Oh, wow.
And then he goes into this crazy thing.
Our black budget, for instance, garners $1.023 trillion every 2 years. It's over $500 billion a year. Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide. Each one has an average cost of $17 to $19 billion. Each one is built in the site. It'd take a year to 2 years to build each one, and now they're capable of building a couple of them a year with sophisticated methods. My colleague Al Bielek has actually been on some of the high-speed railways. The magneto-leviton trains that connect all the deep underground military bases within the United States. He's been on a Mach 2 train and floats off of a single rail at three-quarters of an inch off the rail and is what you'd call high-tech. We have nothing like this on the surface. The public basically has been totally lied to. I was involved in building another base inside of Dulce, New Mexico, which is Los Alamos Laboratory. It's a biological laboratory. On the southwest part of the Archuleta Mesa, we built an underground facility, a better part of 3 cubic miles, hollowed out underground. Then to the southwest of that, we were in the process of the early stages of building. We drilled 4 large tunnel-like holes. The equipment kept coming up broken, so we wanted to go down. We wanted to send somebody down there, a human observer, or human observers in this case, to find out what was going on. Well, that's when it all the hell broke loose, really. I was lowered down the basket of one of these holes, and about from me to this elderly woman here in the front was sitting a 7-foot-tall alien gray. The stench was worse than the worst garbage can you can imagine. The person was the entity was absolutely horrible. I didn't waste any time or reach for my pistol. This was in late August of 1979. I killed two of them. Yes, they're mortal and they do die. However, in the process, one of them did this. All I remember is that he just kind of waved his hand in front of his chest, and the next thing I know, this blue beam hit me and just literally opened me up like a fish. And burnt my fingers right off of me. And it was some form of electrical force, because the kind of like being hit by a lightning bolt burned all my toenails off of me. Completely crispy crittered my left foot. Burnt the shoe right off of me. All I remember is the smoking remains, and I'm still conscious, but in and out of, I didn't remember much. And there was a Green Beret that was right behind me that risked his life. In fact, he died. But he risked his life. He shoved me back in the basket and hit the button and took me up. And I wouldn't be alive talking to you today if it wasn't for him.
Like, he died, like, shortly after that. He actually died by hanging. And they called it a suicide, even though there was no note, and he had three fingers on one side. So if you're going to hang, that seems like some knot works involved. It just didn't seem like the... I don't know. And to not leave a note just kind of sounds like a bunch of men in black suits just wanted to...
Somebody took him up. You'd hope that he would leave a note behind. Maybe he did leave a note and they took it and cleaned up the crime scene a little bit. You never know.
Right.
Will never know.
They just spray, like, liquid bleach everywhere.
Yeah.
And then they, they're out of there.
Get rid of the evidence. They're the ones they know how to get rid of evidence. Of course they do.
They got alien technology they're trying to hide. So maybe they use that in a murder. But have you looked into this shit? Like, Area 51, the government's hiding aliens, you know? We have secret treaties with different races.
No, I've never really looked into any of that. I looked into... I know about Area 51, of course. I do know they just declassified the location of Area 51.
Room Lake.
So you can actually... Yeah, you can find it on Google Maps, and you can find it from aerial view now.
Right.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of those conspiracy theories before, and I think I think we're totally not the only life in the universe. Oh, that's impossible. But I also agree. There's a Calvin and Hobbes comic that's I always like on this value, which is we know that there's intelligent life in the universe because it hasn't come to fuck with us, because it avoids us actively.
Right.
Because we're not really. I don't think we're. On the grand scheme of things, a race worth doing much with.
Yeah, we're
compared to other alien civilizations that are probably out there.
Like, can you imagine being an alien and then describe to an alien why people are against gay marriage? And they'd be like, you mean that yuck that fucking squirts yogurt after a certain number of pumps? Like, anyone cares about any of that?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I know. And it's just like, and even with religion, they'd be like, why? I can see that it's a very effective tool for manipulation, but why would anyone really like behind this? Especially if they just like knock and they can find holes in things. Why doesn't the human just go through and not believe?
But also, like, if they are ascended creatures, maybe they speak with telekinesis or something like this. Like, maybe aliens, like, have a different... Like, they're so advanced that they also are super advanced spiritually. And just,
yeah, maybe.
You know?
We know there are many underground bases, practically underground cities, that are kept well hidden and out of public view that sprang up as a result of having alien contact and making treaties with them. These treaties called for joint bases to be built for the exchange of technology with aliens. Our scientists and experts worked side by side with aliens and taught the new forms of technology that had been agreed upon. For instance, our government allows the aliens to mutilate animals and kidnap humans in exchange for anti-gravity technology, microchips, lasers, free energy, and more. Dulce is a small town with one motel and a gas station, but underneath the surface of the entire area lies a vast complex and network of bases and shuttle systems that crisscross through the entire country. Dulce is the central hub. The Dulce base is more technically known as the Biogenics Laboratory, including but by no means limited to atomic manipulation, cloning, human psychic research, advanced mind control, animal-human crossbreeding, visual and audio chip implantation, and the abduction and feeding off of humans, including children. The first three levels contain government offices and a garage for street maintenance. The base itself is as large as the city of Manhattan. Yes, they have roads and electric vehicles to drive. The second level contains offices and a garage for trains, shuttles, tunnel boring machines, and UFO maintenance. The third level is mostly government offices. The fourth level of the Dulce base conducts research and experiments on the human psyche, dream manipulation, hypnosis, and telepathy. All aspects of mind control programming take place here as well. Witnesses have described huge vats containing amber liquid with human body parts on the fifth level that are constantly stirred by a robotic arm. Rows and rows, thousands of cages have also been seen holding men, women, and children to be used as food and put into these vats for the aliens. The sixth level is called Nightmare Hall. It contains the genetic labs, and this is where the crossbreeding experiments of humans and animals are conducted. People have reported seeing fish, seals, birds, and mice that are vastly altered from their original creations. There are multi-armed and multi-legged humans and several cages and vats of humanoid bat-like creatures up to 7 feet tall.
And then I didn't believe any of this, and then they're saying that there's underground bases where also they're with the aliens. They're just doing weird experiments. Human-animal hybrid experiments.
Okay.
Which sounds like it would break a lot of...
all the, you know, like the Geneva Code and all those things.
And then I was like, oh, is this true? Is this true? And then I saw this. It is very disturbing. It is a video of what looks like a frog... baby hybrid.
What?
And I'm about to creep out Jay Light.
This is for real?
This is for real. What is this? Is this not a frog-human hybrid?
What? Where did you find this? This is this YouTube?
YouTube hole, man. I went down a dark YouTube hole and some whistleblower was talking about this.
Damn.
That he was saying that this is in an underground base with the aliens where they're splicing human
what
DNA.
What in the world?
And just doing weird experiments.
I mean, there's got to be an explanation for this.
Doesn't that look very authentic?
That looks so authentic, though.
That does not look like CGI.
It doesn't look like CGI, but oh my God.
Why don't you type into YouTube human frog hybrid and tell me that's not a human frog hybrid?
I can't look away.
I know. This will haunt your nightmares.
My nightmares are going to be haunted, man. Oh, you can see its little frog dick, too.
Doesn't that look like what a human.
It looks like a human frog hybrid. It really does. I can't. I wish I had like a way of telling if this is real or not, but I'm like in shock.
I know,
this
right?
This is like the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I saw this last night on fucking YouTube. This is YouTube.
How were you watching this late at night? I bet you had all kinds of nightmares.
And all kinds of pot in my system.
That probably eased the frog baby.
Isn't that terrifying?
That's scary as hell. I hope that they don't have that down somewhere in some base. I really hope they don't.
But it's like, it would make sense that they have all these bases with all this security that's paranoid security. If you have this many levels of paranoid security, something's going on in that underground base. You know what I mean?
They're making frog babies.
Succeeded, and I did attempt to find out if there were any secret government documents that reveal things, and if there were, they were concealed from me too. I wouldn't be the first president that underlings have lied to or that career bureaucrats have waited out. But there may be some career person sitting around somewhere hiding these dark secrets even from elected presidents. But if so, they successfully eluded me, and I'm almost embarrassed to tell you I did try to find out. Governments and announcing that we had succeeded in sequencing the human genome, and perhaps some of you have investments in all these biotech companies, and now you know we cloned Dolly the sheep, and now apparently they may have cloned a dog, and we're all talking about this. My own view is that assuming we don't do something stupid like burn ourselves up with global warming or blow ourselves up with a military conflict we could just as easily avoid, I think a lot of these biotechnology issues will be the dominant sort of intellectual and ethical challenges of the lives of those of you who are 10, 20, 30 years younger than I am. Because I think that we are going to be able to save people's lives that, you know, in my generation couldn't be saved. and we are going to come up against the limits of our own mortality in a way we never could before. And a lot of the things that happen, good and bad, will be stranger than anything ever written in science fiction. But I don't know the answers. Which is one reason I would like to live to be 100, just to see what happens.
Well, that means that the president...
How does the president not need to know?
I could play this clip of Bill Clinton saying this. Also, Barack Obama said something recently.
9 and 10-year-old boys around the country, when I meet them, they ask me, have you been to Roswell? And is it true what they say? And I tell them, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So, and their eyes get all big, you know, so we're going to keep our secrets here.
Huh. That's all he said. Boom. What does that mean?
I don't know.
But it's like, if it is a need-to-know base and certain presidents don't know, then who are these people that are making that call? And aren't they really running the show?
Yeah, it's a shadow government, man.
What do you think about all this?
I think that the president should definitely know if there are aliens. That's what I think. Don't keep that shit from the president. Come on, guys. Get it together.
And why isn't one president gone? Just had one press conference going, this is what's going on. I know you're still rattled by the frog.
Sounds like a start of an action movie is what it sounds like. Like, you just show me this clip,
And
now we're talking about the president. The president's going to go and get some answers, goddammit. And that's where the trailer starts this
movie. What if he knows answers, but they think that, you know, the American public would be frightened if they knew the truth that we were
They would totally be frightened. Have you seen that? They would be 100% frightened. Nobody would want to find out about that.
But also, it's like, hey, how about you actually just do the right thing and... not test them. Because, like, imagine being a free creature. Like, you're, like, birthed in a fucking beaker, and then you have to be a freak. You know, elephant, frog, human, just going, kill me, with drool coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Like, I would hate that.
So that would suck, right?
It'd be a terrible life.
That would suck. So how about we don't do that, maybe? I don't know. I'm still rattled to the core after seeing this. And also, it could just be, you know, remember those Nazi scientists came over here in Project Paperclip? There's this conspiracy theory about, you know, all the Nazi rocket scientists, you know, were kind of smuggled out. You know, when we're winning the war in World War II, we're going to take all their best scientists, and we're not going to charge them for Nazi crimes.
Right.
But then, you know, maybe they were also in on this. I don't know. I was very skeptical until I typed...
Human frog hybrid
into Google, into fucking YouTube.
That'll cure your curiosity. That's
and
for
also
sure.
Listen to the paranoid ramblings of a guy called Philip Schneider, with his fingers blown off, and he says an alien shot him with a plasma beam.
Now what I'm telling you is kind of almost like a brain overload here.
I listen to people like that, but I'm not going to listen to L. Ron Hubbard because he's clearly someone making stuff up. I've seen enough improv. I've seen enough stand-up. I know when people are going off the cuff, and I know when people are on material.
But it's taken up with a 3D super colossal motion picture, which has to do with God, the devil, space opera, etc. They go 5 pictures to 5 words, and we have the full record of what it is. And it goes on for about 36 days. Then these poor bastards were let wander out. Pardon me. They were then boxed up again, and the boxes were mixed, so that there were 2 assembly areas, one was Las Palmas and the other was Hawaii. And in these 2 assembly areas, they took samples from each volcano area and put it in little boxes. And they had an assembly line, and at Las Palmas, it runs down the main street of Las Palmas. We've had more damned accidents on that main street you can shake a stick at. One of our captains was feeling rather queasy until I told her, well, the old assembly line of R6 is just 25 feet from you as you lie here on the slipway.
He's off the cuff right there when he's dishing
and
out
other,
two,
what's
three.
Philip Schneider's doing some material right there. He's on book.
The militaries of the world have been in constant conflict with the outer space alien. The small gray, the large gray, the reptilians, the whole thing. There are 11 distinct races of aliens. 2 are benevolent. 1 had to leave here in a hurry because their world is under attack, both on the surface as well as underground there, the Pleiadesians.
He's on, but yeah.
This is rehearsed.
He sounds,
this is a story he's told people and he knows is real.
Well, he sounds earnest. That's all I'm going to say. And he was killed later, and he's not selling a book, and he still doesn't have an institution profiting on his claims.
That's true.
He's just a guy who said it in one shadowy, grainy VHS tape, and now he's gone. So, I don't know. I listen to those people. Those people are heroes.
If I will say one thing, it is that the government and the Scientology head organization, they both seem to be about as good as making people disappear as they need to be. It sounds like they might have some
other out there. It's like Scientology is just a tiny version of the paranoid U.S. government.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're like, oh, you're just a satellite institution. You have all this secrecy until alien shit. Us too.
We get it. We're fine.
That's what we do.
Let's make peace. Have your tax-free exempt status.
Yeah.
You don't ask about the alien frog hybrid babies.
And you have your own slaves that work for, you know, 80 hours a week and make $20. We're not going to say that that's a human rights violation or a breaking of the employee code because, you know, they're living a life of poverty for the Scientology.
And then pretty soon you're at somewhere where you look and you go, are you kidding me? Like, for more than a year, I slept on the fucking floor and I was fed slop. And I was in a building that had bars on the doors and windows. I wasn't allowed out, and I was supposed to sit around in there and circle jerk myself into fucking a new state of existence where now I'm suddenly acceptable to Miscavige because I've confessed to, you know, whatever heinous things satisfied his prurient sense of right and wrong. And I maybe I got a bunch of other people to do it, and that was even better than me getting, you know, if I could pummel someone else into admitting shit that he likes to hear, that's even better than if I do it.
Yes. It just still boggles my mind that one person can just have a perfect ego, and then still after he dies, you know, and he wants all of his thoughts to be in your brain. Every single one of his thoughts to be in your brain, and you live by them. And even after he dies, people are still rocking that, the reverberation of that.
Yeah. But the thing is, people now will take it and interpret it to what they mean. It's all about interpretation, which I think is the worst part about having something based off of a book like the Bible, which is filled with stories. It's literally a storybook. It's a book
of
parables and fables. Most of it, we don't know if it happened or not. The stories have been passed down for years. You can't base your life. Like, I don't know which comic has a joke about this, but I know somebody does.
Right.
About, like, if you made your life based off... Oh, it's a friend of mine. He's got a joke about this. Like, if you based your life off of Batman, that's a code you can live by, but people are going to ridicule you if you say, oh, yeah, no, I'm a Batmanist, because it might be totally legitimate that you're basing your actions and your moral code off what Batman does.
Right.
But just to say, oh, well, you base it off of another book of probably fictional stories.
Yeah, it's equivalent.
But I will say, if you're spending $150,000, you're better going to believe whatever you're spending that money on.
Yeah, you get pot committed.
Yeah.
Right. Then they tell you the alien shit, and you're like... I'm already in it.
Yeah, I might as well go along with it. I've already dropped this much money on it. I've already dropped at least a house worth.
Yeah.
If not several houses.
Yeah.
To get to this point.
But the internet is, like, breaking all that up. Because right now, I can look at a whistleblower who died in 96. And, you know, his shit lives forever for free on the internet. That's how it should be. It's just, you know, they're like, oh, no, we want to get Scientology perfect. So you have to pay us to maintain this. Level structure.
Yeah. We're gonna, it's a very, very, they restrict the flow of information as much as they want.
They also,
they're in the position of power.
They dispense internet blockers so that you block yourself from looking at anything against Scientology.
Interesting.
So if you're a Scientologist, they go, oh, put this on your personal computer so you can't search out anything that'll rattle the cage too much.
Now that's some dark government shit right there. Oh. That's like Chinese government.
But it's also like security level. It's like, you know, You hear stories of people working on an element for the government, and they don't know what the whole project is. They only know that they're doing this.
Yeah.
So it's like everyone's kind of like double-blind, kept in some kind of dark thing. That's how you run a shadowy thing where only one guy's running the show. And you would at least think that that one guy would be public, and we'd go, oh, that's the president.
Mm-hmm.
But if the president's going, what's with aliens? And some guy's going, you can't, I'm not going to tell you that. That guy's running the show. So then who gave that guy the power? I don't know. That's the conclusion of this fucking YouTube fest.
Yeah, this YouTube conspiracy theory fest, man.
It's almost like there's so many cults that you can just cull from YouTube and just mix and match what those people say for the alien levels of your cult, you know?
I'll tell you what, I am going to, as much as I hate it, I'm going to go look at more frog human hybrid baby videos now.
I almost puked yesterday when I saw that. It's the head has like a big shell kind of like...
Oh, it's so weird. The eyes are what freak me out the most.
And also, it's a baby, so it's still trying to figure out itself. And, you know, you're looking at it going, I don't even know if this is a viable creature. Maybe it's one lung will collapse because it's an unstable... Ugh. Please stop.
I will never stop thinking about it, and
please,
I want to.
Voices in my head. Can you imagine, though, being one of those scientists in an underground bunker doing illegal experiments like that?
Oh, God, that'd be so much fun. I'll come grab it.
People are paying you.
They are paying me.
The fucking king of this place. People have checks for you. You're getting preferential treatment at the roast battle. There's so much pressure with those things, too, because you got Don Barris watching you, Jeffrey Ross watching you.
Yeah.
Just a deus, killers.
It takes some effort, man. You gotta really... That's the thing about that mic. It's a good mic, but you also have to put in an effort. Because there's a crowd. Most mics don't have crowds.
Yeah.
This one's got a packed, standing room only crowd.
That's a thing, and it's worth it for me to drive down there, even though I'm not sure if I'm going to get on stage, because when I do get on stage, it's like one of the greatest shows you'll have that month, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like a packed out 155, 160 people in the room. What's the weirdest thing you saw while you were over there? Is that place haunted?
The Comedy Store? I haven't seen any haunted stuff yet.
There is like a buzzing energy there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have an entire basement that does not open to the public. Like, they have an entire floor that is shut down to the public because they...
Are they doing experiments on them?
Oh, yeah. They've had ghost hunters come down. They've had human frog babies going down in there. That's one of the secret bunkers, actually.
If you saw this walking down this street... Like, you would have a fucking heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go on.
But no, yeah, I know there are ghosts. I haven't experienced any personally. I'm sure. I've only been there a month, but I'm sure as time goes on, I'll wind up having some weird stories.
Yeah.
You have to check back with me in about a year, and we'll see what
happens.
Have you
seen anyone doing any drugs or, you know?
No, nothing outside of the usual what I saw before I started working there, because people go and, like, smoke weed in the back, and people drink heavily.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
I do love it, though. There's such an energy. There's so many... There's, like, three rooms of comedy going on simultaneously. You know,
you can go wherever you want.
Yeah, when you're a comic, I don't know if other people have a different experience, but as a comic, I always just kind of walk wherever I want. I'm sure there's, like, no crowd control there.
Not really.
You know? No. Anyone could just kind of walk in. Do people pay to get into
that place? Yeah, people go. For all the showrooms, people pay.
Right.
If you're not a comic, and all you know who the comics are and they're not, because mostly it's the way they carry themselves. But people pay. People pay for shows.
That's weird. I don't even know what that means at the Comedy Store, to pay for a show.
It means you're not a comic.
Yeah.
It means you're just here to watch. A lot of tourists coming through. We get a lot of foreigners. A lot of Australians, I know that. That's one thing I've noticed, is there's always at least one group of people from Australia in the crowd. I don't know why, they're always there.
Hey, they're good comedy fans. Fuck yeah. You know?
They'll laugh.
Anything else you want to talk about, Jay Light? What's going on? What's the future?
Future, I'm going to be...
What's your plan? What's your...
I'm excited for the summer. This Comedy Store job's been treating me well. I've got a lot of shows coming down the pipeline for the summer. I'm working on a... I'm also working on a film script that I started a couple years ago about working at a summer camp, because I wanted to write the next great summer camp movie, because it hasn't been one since Wet Hot American Summer 14 years ago.
Yeah.
I got... Because I used to work in a summer camp myself, and then I got too attached to the material. I had to put it aside. Now I feel like I'm ready, having not worked at that camp for about 2 years. I feel like I'm ready to pick it back up again, so I'm going to finish that this summer. That's my plan. But on that, just doing comedy, performing, and having fun.
I'd say you gotta do it. Have different irons on the fire. I also just started going to, like, a screenwriting group.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Called Deadline Junkies, and you just, like, show up and then read each other's shit, and that's it.
That's,
you know, it's pretty fucking rad.
Man. I might have to get on one of those.
How you doing? Cool. Well, thanks, Jay Light.
I got a couple shows coming up. The July 3rd, that's this Thursday, I've got the Kinda Sketchy Comedy Show, which is a show that I co-run with a buddy of mine, Tyler Mesner. Do you know Tyler, Eric?
Tyler Mesman? No, I don't.
He and I were in North Carolina together. But we run a show. It's at the Hyperion Tavern in Silver Lake. It's first and third Thursdays of the month.
I've been there.
July 3rd. Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah, it's a good gig.
And then July 4th and 5th, I am emceeing at Flappers in Claremont. I'm doing all four shows. So come out. Check it out.
Cool. Check me out. Flappers, Main Room, Wednesday, July 9th. 2014, 10 p.m. And also I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena on July 13th, Sunday, 7:30, Stage 2. Check out the Here Comes Godot web series I've done. And also I've recorded a recent episode of Dork Forest with Jackie Cation.
Oh, nice.
And so that was exciting. I met Jackie Cation, went over her house.
She's great. I love her. She's so funny.
And my dorkdom started as Whose Line Is It Anyway in the 90s on Comedy Central. That was one humongous impetus for me loving improv. And then I went to UCB in New York, you know, and then I came out here.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me all started. But then it just obviously devolved into conspiracies.
Of course.
So, I mean, you know. But check out that episode. Episode is fun. I think I freaked out Jackie Cation a little bit. And also, I got to think, Troma bought this movie called Theater of the Deranged 2, which I hosted as a character called Damien Shadows. It's a short film anthology movie, Theater of the Deranged 2, coming to fucking DVD and Blu-ray in September from Troma.
Buddy.
So check that shit out. That's been another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Jay Light.
Thank you, Eric. Cool. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's fun.